Our El Salvador team is having a successful trip, and we're praying for them and grateful that they've been blessed with a safe passage there and a successful work thus far. And we know that they're worshiping and doing some work today as well. And we'll be returning, Lord willing, this Friday. And so keep them in your prayers. Have a lot of things going on, a lot of good things going on this summer, and hope that your family will be involved in them. What is the greatest example of hospitality that has been shown to you? We can think about a lot of those, I'm sure, if you go back over and peruse some of the memories of your life. I remember when Amanda and I were newlyweds and we were preparing to go to the mission field, and we were in Abilene, Texas, several states away from our family, and there was a couple there from church that one afternoon had us out to their home and fed us a home-cooked meal and showed us all around their place and allowed us to spend the afternoon at their home. Or another time when we were traveling with the mission team and we were needing to stay in an area for a short amount of time and a couple put us up in their home for a few nights. You can think about those examples too. In fact, those of you who have been to El Salvador can think about how the church there shows great hospitality, and I'm sure our team members are experiencing that this week. And then, of course, if you're new to our congregation, maybe you've come and been a part of our church the last 3 to 5 years, and you can think back and you think about when I came in to Seven Oaks, and I remember maybe not knowing very many people, and how people were so warm and friendly and accepting and hospitable to me. And so maybe you think about when you came to be with us here at Seven Oaks. And so, what are some great examples of hospitality? You know, it's often said that hospitality is a dying virtue, that it's just not shown as much. In fact, when we think and talk about hospitality in Bible class many times, what do we have someone make the comment? And it kind of goes like this. Well, I remember when I was growing up, and maybe that tells about something about the age of the person. But they said, when I was growing up, on Sunday afternoon, we would go over to Grandma's house, or we would go down to the neighbor's house, and we just sat out on the porch, and you never knew who was going to stop by. Everybody just kind of dropped by, and they'd be out for their Sunday afternoon drives. They'd be out visiting, they would say, and they would just stop in and share a glass of tea together and sit out on the front porch and talk. And say, it always ends like this, that comment does. But that doesn't seem to happen anymore. You see, we need to be people who are concerned about our hospitality. And so this morning I want us to think about offering hospitality to one another. First of all, let me say that hospitality is a biblical command, and I want us to survey what the Bible says about it in a rather quick fashion throughout all the Bible. First of all, it was strongly valued in the Old Testament. The key passage on hospitality, it seems, informing its origin is Genesis 18, where Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent. He lifts his eyes up, verse 2, and he sees three men standing in front of him. And he runs to them and he bows himself before them. And he says, "Oh Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." It's like he realizes these are some pretty significant men. And he invites them to stay. But before he does that, he gives them a little water, verse 4, and washes their feet. And he offers them rest under a tree. And he brings them a morsel of bread that they might refresh themselves. And then he will encourage them to stay, and he prepares this rather large meal. He has three seeds, verse 6, of fine flour. It is kneaded, and he makes cakes with them, probably kind of like tortilla cakes or something like that that we might think of. I'm told that some commentators estimate this was around 56 pounds of flour. And then he goes out and he has a calf slaughtered so that he can provide for the meal. A tender and good calf. And then he provides curds and milk and the calf that was prepared. So you're talking about a pretty good amount of time and a pretty good sacrifice by Abraham to provide this hospitality for these strangers. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible seems to be referring back to that when it says that through this act, some have entertained angels by being hospitable. And of course, Abraham, probably not knowing it at the time, was entertaining angels who had come to tell him that Sarah would bear a child, that he would have a child. And so, when we think further, the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19, says, "Love the sojourner. Therefore, you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." David is shown hospitality by Abigail. The stories of Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. Elijah is taken care of by the widow of Zarephath, and Elisha is provided for by a lady who is wealthy and is going to provide him a meal as he travels and doing his itinerant preaching work, and then she will give him a room to stay in when he's journeying. We see hospitality as a key virtue in the Old Testament. In fact, it's going to be a key virtue in the ministry of Jesus. If you look to the story of Luke chapter 7, it's the story of Jesus eating a meal at Simon the Pharisee's home. And while Jesus is eating this meal, a woman who was known as a sinner comes in, and she will begin to wash his feet with her own tears. The Bible says she is weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now Jesus is going to bring up this woman and says, "Did you see this woman?" When Simon is wondering, along with the other Pharisees, how Jesus can allow this woman to touch his feet. And the main emphasis of this story is grace and forgiveness and love. But a key subplot of this story is the lack of hospitality of Simon the Pharisee. If you look down to the application of Jesus' story, he says in verse number 44, "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Now, here's a key aspect I want you to get with our hospitality. A lack of showing hospitality indicates a lack of love. When Simon the Pharisee refused, because of his arrogance and pride, to show hospitality to Jesus, common hospitality of washing his feet, of doing some of these things that were expected in that culture, when he ignored those, Jesus interpreted it as a lack of love. You see, hospitality is the flesh and bones of love. And so when we think about the ministry of Jesus, a little later on in chapter 10, 30 through 37, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Now the word hospitality is not used there, but that's certainly the emphasis. The Good Samaritan is going to show the man who had been beaten and robbed hospitality. He shows him kindness and love and goodness. He is someone who displays hospitality. And of course, Jesus in his ministry will feed the multitudes and do many other acts of hospitality. He'll eat at Zacchaeus' home and Matthew's home. But you know, the early church was active in hospitality. If you go to Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts chapter 2, you read about the early church in verses 46 through 47. "Day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Now, this is a common meal. All these people had come in for the day of Pentecost, and when they were converted, many of them remained in Jerusalem. And while they were there, the Christians of Jerusalem were providing and sharing with them. And they were enjoying their meals together. In Acts chapter 9, verse 43, we read about how Peter stayed at the home of Simon the tanner. And we read about numerous acts of hospitality in chapter 9 and what Peter did. Then if you go to Romans chapter 12, Romans 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Paul tells the Romans, make sure you're showing hospitality. And then in chapter 16, 1 and 2, he refers to Phoebe, who is known for her acts of kindness and contributing to others, her hospitality. And then finally, I want you to look to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, we know this passage because when we talk about elders and installing new elders and qualifications, we look to this one, chapter 3, verse 2. And the Bible says that an elder is to be hospitable. He's one who shows hospitality. He's kind to strangers and to others. He's one who is always showing acts of kindness. But I want you to notice another passage in 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 10. Not only do we think about it for elders and those who would be our leaders, but also it's supposed to be for the common Christian. Because notice what chapter 5, verse 10 says. Talking about when a widow now, should be provided for by the church. Notice the qualification. She should have a reputation of good works. If she has brought up children, and listen to this, has shown hospitality. Now notice how it describes hospitality. She has washed the feet of saints and has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. So widows, women, as well as men, the elders. So those who are Christians, men and women, are to be involved in good works, caring for others, acts of hospitality. And finally, the passage that Joseph read, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, where Peter tells us to show hospitality. Now, what I want you to understand about hospitality here is that hospitality has a wide range of meaning and application in the New Testament. I think so many times we limit hospitality to what is done in the home. We think, well, I've got to be hospitable. That means I've got to invite somebody into my home. I've got to prepare a three-course meal. I've got to spend all this money, time, and effort. And I've got to do that. And I've got to spend probably a whole day before that cleaning my house so that it's presentable for those people to come into my home. And that's what hospitality is. I want you to understand that the Bible responsibility, the biblical duty of hospitality is much broader than that and certainly is not exclusive to that. In fact, the idea of hospitality, it seems in the Bible, chiefly involves the idea of kindness to others without the expectation of reward. In other words, what we often think of as perfect hospitality often might be better considered as entertainment, where we're often sometimes doing that, and that's a good thing to do, but maybe we're doing it more for ourselves than others. But hospitality involves trying to think about what we can do to show kindness to others without the expectation of what I'm going to get out of it. And so that means that hospitality involves things in the church. What are some acts of hospitality in the church? Well, number one, it involves friendliness. Greeting those sitting beside you and greeting those who come into our building. We need to make sure that we're friendly and welcoming and accepting of those who come in, and that we let them know that we value them, and we'll help them, their children, find their Bible classes, and we'll help them find their Bible classes, or we'll help them find the restrooms or whatever they might need. We're going to be very friendly and welcoming to them. That's an act of hospitality. But also it means that when we have a death in the church, you're willing to either stop by the store, go home and make something and bring it for a funeral meal, or drop it off by their home, or go by the funeral visitation and offer your condolences. Those are acts of hospitality. Those are acts of kindness shown to others. You see, when we think about hospitality in the church, it involves all those kind of things. It involves hosting a youth devotional for Ryan in your home or here at church and helping be the host of that activity. Hospitality has a wide range of meaning in the church. So it involves all the things that we can do, preparing food for the sick, helping serve at a funeral meal, or taking food to a bereaved family. But also in our homes, hospitality can involve having people into our home, having our neighbors over for an outdoor cookout. Hospitality certainly should involve our home, maybe opening up our home to those who are traveling and might need a place to stay. You see, hospitality should be connected with our home and also with food. As I mentioned, it's so often connected with fellowship and with food. So all these things are connected. It's love in action. It's love in action. It's the flesh and bones of love. It might be going and sitting with someone who's a shut-in, or someone who they have to stay. They're a spouse of someone who can't get out, and you go and relieve that spouse so they can get out and go to the grocery store or come to church. Those are acts of hospitality. Going to the nursing home and checking in. See, all those kind of things are acts of hospitality. It's love in action. Now, what are some challenges to hospitality? What are some hindrances to it? Well, these are things that I think we often use. We say it's too much work. And it is a lot of work at times. Go back to this story in Genesis 18. How much effort did it take for them to prepare 56 pounds of flour and a whole calf? How much effort did it take? Well, there was some work involved. And many times, we need to be willing to be intentional in putting forth the work in acts of hospitality. But then also notice, my home is just too messy. Sometimes I think we use the excuse, because we have confined hospitality to our home, well, my home is just too messy, or I've got young kids now, or my home is too small. We got all these things, and many times those are legitimate things. And here's what I want you to realize. Don't think that your home is the only place you can be hospitable in. You can go out to eat. You can be hospitable by being kind to the person sitting next to you in church, by taking food somewhere or taking yourself somewhere and visiting with someone, or being kind to the store clerk at Walmart or to someone who you meet who's having a rough day. You see, hospitality is not limited to your home. Now, we certainly need to be hospitable in our homes. We need to use our homes as stewards of something God has entrusted us with. But don't think that if your home just is not as conducive for hospitality now and having people in it. But let me also say that don't think your home has to be perfect. That use your home. And people understand that you live in your home. And so open it up and use it when there's a need. And don't think it's to be a museum or showplace. Be creative in your hospitality. And then another excuse is people say, well, I'm just too busy. I've got so many things going on. I would say with that excuse, we need to be more intentional. And we often need to think about how we can be hospitable as we go about our busy lives and the people we're around. And we say, I can't afford it. To that I would say, that's legitimately often the case. Maybe we can't go kill the calf and provide 56 pounds of flour like Abraham did, who was very wealthy. But you know, we may can pop some popcorn, have some people over and enjoy popcorn on a Sunday night after church. Or we might can stop by and buy a few cookies and bring them up for a funeral meal. You see, we can do things that will not break our budget. Or we can go out to eat and do a Dutch treat. In other words, don't expect to buy the whole meal, but just say, hey, would you like to go out to eat together and go out and enjoy that time? And so don't allow money to keep you from being hospitable. And then some say, I'm just a private person. I'm not extroverted. And the point I would say as well is that find your own way of doing hospitality. Maybe cards. It might be other acts like smiles and food preparation or things like that. It may not be out front being very extroverted, being a greeter or having someone in your home. But you can be hospitable in your own way, serving others. And so when we think about all that I've said and we bring this to a motivational conclusion, I want you to think about its importance and why it's significant. It's a duty. It's an obligation. It's a responsibility. I've gone through all these commands. We are to be hospitable. Men and women, we are to show hospitality. And so why is that the case? I think three reasons. Number one, because it's like Jesus. When Jesus walked this earth, to the poor, to the rich, to the young children, to the rough Pharisees, he was kind and hospitable. He welcomed them, and he was busy. He had all these obligations, yet Jesus was always hospitable. And if we want to be like Jesus, when we're going about our work, when we're going about our lives, we're going to make ourselves kind, approachable, friendly, and hospitable to those that we're around. But I also think it's connected with evangelism. When you think about evangelism, when you think about going and doing campaigns, when you think about mission trips, there's so many connections there with hospitality and food and fellowship. And I think that we are amiss if we think we can evangelize people without touching people's heart by showing them we care. That if we're going to get them into the baptismal waters, and we certainly want to do that, that it might be through a Sunday lunch or through a Friday night out at a ball game. It might be through befriending them and being hospitable to them and showing them what Jesus looks like as we live out our example, that we then can open up and enter their hearts to be able to talk to them about the gospel. And as a church family, that if we're going to be evangelistic, if we're going to reach out to those who come to us and share the gospel with them, it begins with hospitality. And so evangelism is the result, but hospitality has to be where it begins. And so hospitality is a key focus, a key part of evangelism. And finally, hospitality is important because of its helpfulness. Because we need people to be hospitable to us. And we're going to be in situations where we're going to need the help of others. There's a few verses I want to close with. John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, before it speaks of Abraham having entertained angels unaware, verse number 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, before it says, "Seek to show hospitality," it says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints." You see, really this is about love and about giving. I want you to realize there's a reciprocal nature to this. In the story of Elisha, back in 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha was shown hospitality by this wealthy lady and her husband. She begins to prepare food for him just out of her own desire, seeing him traveling the road. She begins to prepare food for him. He eats the meals, and then she says to her husband, "You know, could we provide a room for him so that when he's traveling, he can know he can stop by?" And they do. They provide a room, and Elisha will stay there. This lady was barren. They had not been able to have children. She was growing older. And Elisha, through her befriending him, Elisha will pray, and God grants that prayer, and this lady has a child. That child will be being reared in somewhere in its young years. We don't know for sure the time, but it seems like the child is still young. The child will get sick. The child will die. Elisha once again intervenes. He prays. And the child is resurrected. Now here's the thing. That lady, when she began to show hospitality, did that not expecting anything in return. She did it out of love for God and a love for the work of the prophet. But think of the blessing she received because of it. That's how hospitality is. You show it not expecting to get something back, but what you'll find, it may not be from the person you show it to, but what you'll find is the more you give, just like love, it's like that boomerang that comes back, and you'll be blessed by the hospitality, by the love of others when you need it, and when you need to be shown love and hospitality. And so, we need to be people who are hospitable. And in closing, how are you going to be more hospitable? How are you going to show more kindness to others? I want to challenge you. I've talked about all the ways you can be hospitable, from having people in your home to going out to bringing food to friendliness. I want you to think about one way, one area, maybe one person or one family that you're going to try to reach out to, that you're going to try to be kind to, that you're going to try to befriend and grow closer with. One way that you can be more hospitable in your service. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.